Where's the Laura Grell? We need a Laura Grell. Ha!
Ah!
There you go.
There you go. There you go, Laura. Laura's in for Jorge today. Momo, what are you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm feeling real good, you know? It's a beautiful day today, man. It feels like spring.
Yeah,
I went swimming already today.
Oh,
kid
wow.
likes to go swimming. He's like, I want to go swimming. I'm like, yeah, why not? Let's
weird.
Do it.
You know what I've been doing right before the show? And it'll sound weird now because, you know, I'm all amped up and I drank a bunch of coffee, but I've been meditating before the show.
Oh.
This week. And I don't know. Is it helping? Is it hurting? What?
Anything? I think you've been good. Yeah,
any change? Bergman, better, worse?
No,
like
going
to the optometrist. Is this better? Is this worse?
Just like in our meeting yesterday, the show is sounding really, really good.
Yeah,
that's what
boy,
we came away with.
What a positive feedback meeting that was.
Really?
Weird, right?
If the meetings are going to be like that all the time, I would like to have one every week.
Right.
I need that level of affirmation.
So I wasn't part of the meeting, but can you summarize? Was it kind of like, Mace, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but you've just been fantastic. Was it like that?
It was pretty much it's like the more you don't give a blank, the better the show is.
All right.
That was the takeaway.
That was the exact message. Yes.
Yeah.
Just don't care, Mace. Just be
just
you.
Don't care. Yeah, I don't give a damn. So, Ireland's out. I always love when Momo's here. It's always fun when Momo's here. And
yeah.
we concocted this bit earlier in the week. Oh, actually, before we do the bit, we are giving away a pair of tickets for Monday night's Rams-Cardinals game. Be at SoFi for Monday Night Football, Wild Card Football. Whose house? Rams house. We are giving away a pair of tickets, and we will do my lie of the day. Now, I've sort of set up the show to tell a whole bunch of different stories in my head. I've got all these stories that are floating around. And Momo, I anticipate you will have great, everybody's going to have great, but I've like concocted a whole bunch of different stories. You'll have to identify the one that I completely made up. If you figure out the one I completely made up and call in at 3:30, you win Rams-Cardinals tickets for Monday night and be there.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I think it's good that you meditate before the show. You are coming in hot today.
That's right.
It's a lot of energy right now.
Yeah, a lot of energy. I could take a little break, a little checkout, you know, get into the universal whatever that is.
Yeah.
Just let it rip. I still, by the way, on top of everything else, after I meditate, I chug a full cup of coffee, which I think has something to do with the level, with the jet propulsion that I come into a show with.
It feels a little up or downer to me, you know, or maybe down or upper cycle there, but it feels healthy.
You know what I always say? I always say I'm in this for the buzz, whether it's the buzz from the caffeine in the morning or the buzz from the cannabis at night. I'm buzzed one way or another all the time. So we concocted this bit where, first of all, Laura Rutledge, who we think, and we don't know, we think Bergman is going to join us today at 2:30.
Yes, she's supposed to. Anytime we've had anybody from the NFL come on the show, they kind of stiff us. So I'm hoping that she'll be.
Well, if you want, I will slide into her. Do you want me to slide into her DMs?
I actually got her phone number. So if she doesn't call, we can call her to make sure.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
so
producing.
She did this bit during college bowl season, and she's got a young baby by the name of Reese. So baby Reese, she would get, for each bowl game, she'd get a helmet for each team. And then baby Reese would, like, crawl up to one helmet or the other, and that's how the game would be picked. She did this 17 times, and baby Reese went 14-3, including the national championship game.
That's awesome.
Now that's a baby right there.
Yeah.
That baby knows what she's doing. Is doing.
Yeah, baby
Reese
name
is
Reese.
A she.
It's a girl. Yep.
So we get in our head. All right. So let's try, because I always think picking football games. You know, they're professional gamblers. We have the Fez come on every Thursday. He gives us the best bet of a lifetime and bet your house on this thing, and you can feel completely comfortable and safe because I'm the greatest tout in the world. The reality is, picking football games, there's a level of randomness to this.
Totally.
That exists that makes it really tough to get everything right. So we decided that we would do sort of the same thing as baby Reese. My dog Sophie using treats. Your toddler Daniel.
He's three.
He's three. He's toddler,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, toddler. Yeah.
How did you have him pick
the
games?
I cannot believe this is how we did it. It's amazing. We were just sitting there last night. We were watching his rhymes at the end of the night. He gets to watch some Cocomelon and some Peppa Pig. And I just called out to him. I go, hey, Daniel, do you like the Raiders or the Bengals? And he goes, Raiders. I go, do you like Do you like the Eagles or the Bucks? Eagles. Like, he just answered me. I just asked the question and he answered me. I didn't think he would play along, but he totally did. And so I was like, well, let's just go with this as long as we can. And he has some interesting picks. He picked the Eagles, you know. I mean, I don't know what he knows that I don't know. But, you know, I like his pick set. I told Nevin we should put some real money down on that.
So I did it this way. Sophie, who is the most food aggressive dog I've ever known.
Yeah.
We took two treats and we said, okay, the right one is going to be the Patriots biscuit, the Patriots biscuit or the Bills biscuit. And then whichever one she ran towards Nate, that's the one that we went with. So, and then Bergman, how did you do yours?
I just picked the teams that I thought were going to win.
Was it a biscuit?
It's actually Cheez-Its. So I had Cheez-Its and I put Cheez-Its next to each name and I decided, which one do I want? I'm going to take that Cheez-It. No. I just picked the teams that I want. And I think I'm going to be extremely embarrassed when I lose. I said when.
Boy, what is worse? Something? Is it worse to lose to a 3-year-old or to a dog?
I think the dog more than the 3-year-old.
Hey,
just because
this dog Sophie, she's got a voice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, see, I know how to pick football games. I'm an expert.
Now I'm even more embarrassed when I lose to this dog.
Yeah, because of the voice.
Because of the voice. The voice makes it worse, actually.
Oh my
so
God.
How do we want to do? Do we want to let's unveil a pick every couple of segments? Or what do you think, Bergman?
Or should we wait for more?
You're the producer.
That's what I was thinking about. And we're talking about it. This is what we do. We talk about it on the air. I'm with Momo. I was thinking we have Laura on and we do it with her.
Okay, that's great. We'll do
it. And maybe she has Reese with her. Who knows?
Oh, man. Reese.
I don't know that for sure, but maybe she just happens to be there, and we can all do it together.
I am geared up for what they're calling Super Wild Card Weekend now. I'd say it's Wild Card Weekend is not enough. It's Super Wild Card Weekend.
It really is.
And it really is fun. I mean, these are really fun games. And, you know, I don't think there is anybody with more pressure on them than Matthew Stafford. Do you think anybody else?
I'm trying to rack my brain to see if there's anybody else. Oh, no. I mean, okay, so the Rams are the team. I mean, in a way, just because.
Oh, come on. Brady's been there so many times.
I know.
No.
His team's kind of fallen apart.
Rodgers?
No.
What about
Rodgers? Rodgers isn't even playing.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Oh, no, they're talking about the wild card. I'm talking about the whole thing. So, yeah.
I'm talking about this weekend.
Okay.
I mean, maybe Mahomes, I get, like, if they were to lose.
Oh, come on. Mahomes
is
already
been
there.
The
idea
lose.
With Matthew Stafford is he's 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the Rams moved heaven and earth and a bunch of draft picks and all that stuff and Jared Goff to get him because he was the anointed guy. He is the anointed guy by Les Snead, by Sean McVay. He was the guy they wanted. He was the guy to put them over the top because, let's be honest, they were in basically the same spot a year ago with Jared Goff. They won in the first round of the playoffs with Jared Goff. Now, if Matthew Stafford doesn't win this weekend, is it fair to say that the trade didn't work?
Right. And remember, Jared Goff was injured coming into that game. We were talking about the Wolf.
He had that thumb thing going on.
Yeah. And then the Wolf got knocked out, and Goff just had to come in and play. So I don't know.
People forget that. He did not get the start in that game.
Right. So he came in and played, and I almost think it took some of the pressure off because all week it had been about the Wolf, right? And then how early in that game did he get concussed? It was early. Yeah, and then it was like, oh, I guess, and Goff had been practicing, but he didn't start, which I thought was really undercutting his credibility.
Yeah, for sure.
Ooh. And he had to come in and play, but it almost in a way made it easier on him pressure-wise because who was expecting anything out of a guy with, you know, whatever's wrong with his thumb that was messed up? So I feel like there's even more pressure on Stafford now.
Yeah, I mean, this is it, man.
Yeah.
This is it. And, you know, it's funny. When do you think the most pressure was ever on? If you could pinpoint a moment in life, when did you feel the most pressure?
Every time we would get to regionals, before we made the World Series. So my freshman, sophomore, and junior years.
This includes life and career and everything.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, the most pressure. Because, like, career-wise, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I was pretty nervous the first couple times I went on TV here at ESPN. But I was like, I can get through this. Even if I suck, what's the worst that can happen? I suck.
Yeah.
Right? But if I, you know, in my athletic career, those were the most pressure-filled games because I hate to say it, but I felt like I just didn't want to make a big mistake, right? Like it was like and then the time when we actually won was when I got over the fear and I was not worried about making a mistake. I was trying to make plays. Mm-hmm. And that was how you get over the pressure. But it was like my freshman, sophomore, and junior years, we would get to regionals, the whole season comes down to this, and you just didn't want to be the one to screw up.
Right.
And it was a terrible mindset. Like
That is a bad mindset. I don't want to be the one to screw up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did. One time I did. It was me. It was one of my – I mean, it wasn't all my fault, but it was kind of my fault. Like, it was really bad. And we all felt bad. We all lost. But it was, you know, I didn't sleep well for quite a while afterwards. But it's okay. We made it my senior year. So, you know, we redeemed it. But I remember it really affects you deep. I mean, like, I couldn't sleep for weeks before.
You know, mine are all career things.
Yeah?
Yeah, mine are all career things. Life has been great. Like my life goes along swimmingly. I'm pretty mellow in life. Mm-hmm. Career things, especially, you know, when I was like at my, you know, I hate to use this, at the apex of my powers, which was a few years back. Like I got called in to test for a show that was like a sports politically correct show. Politically incorrect show. And it came down to me and George Lopez. And I'm like,
wow.
Now I think about it, I'm like, are you kidding me? Me and George Lopez? That is such a no contest walkover. But I go into it, and they said there was a live studio audience there. And I remember the only panelist I remember is Eric Kramer, the old Lions quarterback.
Okay.
And first thing they said was, now go out and do a monologue.
go out and do a monologue cold.
Yeah, you know, introduce yourself, talk about the show, what's coming up.
And,
you know, be funny, be loose. So, like, I'll walk out, I'm like, monologue, all right. I will just let her rip. And as I remember, it was okay. I mean, I was not, like, killing it. I didn't ruin the room. I didn't have everybody on the floor laughing. But I was okay. I was congenial, and I got a couple of laughs probably. Then I sit down at the host desk. Or the host chair. And so I am conducting we've got the topics preset, and I bring up the topics, and I'm throwing them out there, and I'm moderating the two people on each side of me, and I start sweating. I started sweating.
Like,
and when I say sweating, I mean like Albert Brooks in broadcast news sweating.
Oh, God.
And there was a bead of sweat that rolled right down my nose to the tip of my nose and hung there for what seemed like an impossible amount of time. And
wow,
I was just, at that point, I'm just like, and I didn't want to wipe it. I was like, I'm not going to wipe that. I'm going to pretend it didn't happen.
Oh.
And so after the show, and I mean, I got through it, and then George Lopez kicked my ass and got the job. But afterwards, I remember Eric Kramer saying, why didn't you wipe that off your face?
Seriously.
Like, yeah, now that I think about it, of course, wipe your face. But throw this out there for people. What is the most pressure you've ever felt? Most pressure you've ever felt. And by the way, this could be a life thing. This could be a date or meeting a mom or anything like that. The most pressure you ever felt. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Don't forget to pay attention for Lie of the Day. I will lie sometime between now and, or maybe it already happened, between now and 3:30. If you can identify the lie, you will win a pair of tickets to be there Monday night for Rams Cardinals. Mason in Ireland, Momo's in for John, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kind of sad I said that. When were you at the peak of your powers, Momo? Peak of your powers.
I would say like 5 years ago, maybe. 5 years ago. Pre-pandemic.
Because you really got, you blew up like a supernova at some point. You were like everywhere all of a sudden.
Is that what happened? I don't totally think about it like that. I was just kind of working all the time. I remember it as I was just working all the time. Like, I remember it as, wow, they, you know, like, you would just always want to do it. You always had to do sports and hits. Always had to be writing and doing news. And
right, right.
I was doing big stories, and became a curse to all these famous athletes. Every time I'd write about them, they'd lose.
That's right, Ronda Rousey. You ended your career.
Yeah, I had a little run like that. Yeah. I think it was pandemic. I don't even know what the pandemic's been like for everybody. Like, I think I just kind of like we're all doing our job good. Or well,
yeah,
as well as you can, but it's just like a different world. The last 2 years, it's almost like I can't even evaluate the last couple of years. Yeah.
All right, so Matthew Stafford, unbelievable amount of pressure, more pressure on him this weekend than anybody else. And we were talking about what is the biggest pressure moment of your life. Edward and Colton is online. Hey, Edward, you're on 710. What else? What's up, man?
Hey, Mason, how you doing?
Everything's great.
Hey, Momo, how you doing? Always good to hear you on the radio.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my most pressure moment was June of 06 when I got married, and my wife and I got married in the church, in our Catholic church in Riverside. It's an old church, so there was not good air conditioning, and we had to kneel down for our veils and all that.
Yeah.
And I have a bad knee from my army days, and I was just pouring sweat off me. My mom got up out of the first row, walked up to us, and took a towel and wiped my face off. It was so bad.
I needed somebody like that.
Thank you, Mom. She goes, and she kissed me on the hand. She goes, you're welcome. You're home.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. So you got through it.
Bad. I said, the air conditioning was not good, and I was in a lot of pain.
Right. Yeah. All right. Edward, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, the sweating thing is bad. You know what I learned? You've seen broadcast news. I've been watching it so many times,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
You've seen it.
I love it,
And when Albert Brooks sits down to do the anchor. You know, the one thing I always do now is, you know how he sits on his jacket?
Yeah.
The William Hurt character says, sit on your jacket, and it'll keep your jacket. But he started sweating, and it was like there was no containing it. I was a sweater in some really big situations. Let's go to Ryan in Newbury Park. Hey, Ryan, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up?
All's good.
How we doing?
We're doing great, man. Friday.
Yeah, life is beautiful. So here's my pressure moment. The end of 2018, my daughter was being born, and my gynecologist was out of town. So I'm sitting in a delivery room with my wife, and there's nobody else in there. It's just me and her. And the nurse comes in and says, I can see the head, but I'm really busy and we're understaffed. I got to leave. And she walks out.
What?
And I promise you, that is a true story. And so my mom was in a wheelchair outside, like, just because she needed something to sit on.
Yep.
And I said, Mom, go to the nurse's office right now and tell them someone has to come in here, because if the baby comes out, I can't just catch it. So that's my pressure moment.
Right. So what ended up happening?
A nurse came in, a gynecologist came over, and 5 minutes before the baby came out, delivered the baby. And then that was it.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations on that. Yeah.
Which hospital was this? So I can remind everyone not to go there.
I don't want to throw it out there publicly.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, thank you very much. That's got to be freaky.
That was my mom's horror story when I was born, by the way.
Really? Well,
how'd it go? How'd it go, Lauren?
I mean, I'm here, so I'm not dead. But they were pushing me back in because they had an emergency with like a multi-crash thing, and they were rushing people into the hospital. So my mom's about to give birth, and they're like, ma'am, you have to wait. My mom's like, I can't wait. So she kicked the nurse. And she said, like, she kicked the nurse, and then the nurse like got up and she pushed, and I came out. But That was her like thing. Dang. She's like, I almost died having you. And I'm like, that's not my fault. That's the hospital's fault.
Yeah, exactly. She can't blame you
for
that.
Yeah, she was blaming me.
Hospital.
I mean, I've never had birth or anything, but I feel like you don't just wait.
No, in those situations. Sure. I mean, Momo's the only one here that can talk about that. But like,
right.
My mom's like, I've had two other kids. I can't just, hey, let me hold it. It's not like when you're going to go to the bathroom and you got to hold it. But yeah, it was a whole thing. I'm like, did you sue to get some money? Like, we could have been rich. She goes, no. I'm like, oh my God, Mom, what is wrong with you? Like,
that, is crazy. Mm-hmm. Let's go to JC in Ventura. Hey, JC, you're on 710. What's up, dude?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, it's a great day in America.
Tell you. Well, my pressure moment came every time my wife told me we're having another kid.
Oh.
Every time.
How many kids did you wind up with?
I got 7 kids, 6 girls, 1 boy.
Whoa!
Dang!
Did you want that many kids? I mean, I know you love them now, but did you expect that many kids when you went into the marriage?
No. like I said, I don't understand how it happened either. Every couple of months, I'm having somebody pulling on my leg.
Are there any twins in that collection?
No twins. Zero
so 7
twins.
Different times. Wow.
Yeah, I'm just irresistible, I guess.
That must be what it is, JC. There are worse things to be. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot for the phone call. 7 kids. You know, it used to be that people had more kids than they have now.
Yeah, they started earlier, right? So that's part of it. I started pretty late, so it's kind of like, you know, you sort of run out of time on the back end there. Yeah, but if you start in your 20s, you got time. You know, it takes a year to be pregnant.
But the average is like, the national average is, I think, something like 1.7 kids.
That sounds right, because there's a lot of people who don't have kids.
Now,
then, you know.
You have one.
Yeah.
Do you intend to have another?
Yeah, intend to, yeah. That's the hope. But it's also like, I think there's a lot of people my age, especially they have one kid and they're like one and done. Like one kid's a lot. They are in the middle of their careers and don't really feel like being pregnant again. Don't really feel like going through all that again. And it's a lot. I mean, but I think like when you're younger, I will say that like a lot of it is like when you have kids, when you're younger, and this is like, I didn't understand this because I waited and then I got into my late 30s and I'm like, oh, I see why people have kids in their 20s now. I'm really tired all the time. Okay. And like those kids are, I mean, it's not the baby stage that's hard. It's the toddler stage.
Yeah.
They just run around all the time. Yeah. Jumping on things. Yeah.
You whispered in my ear, Laura. What's that?
I said no kids.
You don't want kids?
No, I don't think so. I'm 33. So
yeah.
I'm kind of feeling like the train left that station, you know?
The train 33? Did not leave the station. The train is still right there at the station.
I had my first kid at 39.
Like, 33 is young, Laura.
You got plenty of time, girl.
I don't know. I feel like you got to find someone decent to have a kid with. You got to, you know, date them. Then the marriage. Yeah, it's too much. Too much.
So like, by the way, did you have your blind... Not your blind date, but your drink with the person that took you to the Rams game last night?
He did not take me to the Rams game, Mason. I don't know if you got that. No, we did not go to the Rams game together.
So who is this guy that you went? You did go to have a drink with him last night?
I did. It's a friend, strictly friend, and I made it very clear, and he's okay with it. And I love that John did call me. John did call, and he saw, because I had my phone on the table, he was, why is John Ireland calling you?
Oh, that's funny. He was your bailout call.
Yeah.
Oh.
So then I just felt so bad because John's like, are you good? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, is he right in front of you? I was like, yeah. And then Lisa's in the background, have fun.
And how'd it go?
John was your bailout call. That's amazing.
Did he understand that you were in the friend zone?
Oh, 100%. He understood. Yes. It was because I tried to pay for the meal. And he didn't let me. And then he did like the suave thing, gave the waiter like a really nice tip to charge his card. And I'm like, hey, so I've made it very clear. He goes, I know, friends, it's okay. I said, okay, good.
Yeah. Good. As long as you do it that way, it's okay. It's like, as long as the other person knows, hey, there's nothing here.
Yeah, no. It was all joking aside. I was like, oh, I felt, because, you know, I'm going to school for psychology. I felt like I was a therapist. I think he just needed someone to talk to. So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. It wasn't like, it's just friends, strictly friends.
Bergamo, did you say what your most pressure-filled moment was?
No, I didn't. But I have,
obviously, it probably has to do with producing the Mason and Ireland show.
That's probably the least pressure point of my entire day, actually. The most pressure part, I mean, this, it happens all the time, is putting out that damn schedule.
Oh, my God,
putting
I was going to say the schedule.
That is so embarrassing that that's your pressure.
You don't understand, Momo.
Do you get the schedule, Momo?
Yes, I get like...
It's like the schedule of everybody doing everything for like the next 6 months.
And everybody gets so mad all the time.
Then somebody bails on a shift and Greg will change the name and he'll send the entire schedule out again.
I don't do that anymore. Yeah, it is a lot that has
to
go into
it. Have you heard of a Google Doc? Like
it is now a Google Doc for a while, all right?
That everybody can have access to, and then you don't have to send it every time.
Well, no, I don't want people changing stuff on it. Only I can change stuff on it.
Well, that's just how you set up the doc then. That's fine.
Right.
You're the only one who can edit. Everybody else has to read only.
That is how it's
set
up.
This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to learn Google.
But I don't understand. Your definition of pressure is very different than mine.
You don't understand the background behind all of it. So it's not something for the air, but there is a lot more to it.
I actually think it's super hard. He has to know where everybody is at every moment. And that includes like producers and board ops and all that stuff. Who's going to do the Lakers game? Ooh. Who's going to do the Rams? I think it's probably pretty, to me, pressure is like,
if I screw this up, we all lose the game and everyone hates me.
And if I screw something up, we say things wrong on the air and it becomes a huge problem.
Yeah, mine is choking on a TV show and losing to George Lopez. And yours is making a schedule.
Very different.
It's the bane of my existence.
Coming up next for you. I have a Russell Westbrook theory I want to throw out there.
I like your theories, especially on Fridays.
I really think I've nailed what's going on with Russell Westbrook. And by the way, that would be really saying something if you could nail what's going on with Russell Westbrook. Also, we've got I want to ask you about Kelly Stafford coming up too. Kelly Stafford has a podcast.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Matt Stafford.
And I want to talk about that. Obviously, it's wild card weekend, super wild card weekend, so we're all over all of that for you. You guys probably feel really good about the Raiders.
You know what? It's easy, though, with the Raiders.
Like, okay, hold it, and we'll do it coming up next. All that stuff's coming up for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That moment right there is when Lara Romo took a knife and gashed my forehead trying to cut a racing stripe into my eyebrow. Is that a fair characterization?
A knife? I don't know about that. No.
We had to get the janitorial services in there, and there was blood all
over. Are you
over
serious?
The no, there was Momo, like yellow none. Tape up. It Whoa! Was unbelievable.
It was a geyser. It was like a crime scene in there. It was insane.
This is now. This moment right now is why I understand why Greg thinks the schedule is a pressure moment. He thought that was a geyser.
Wow.
No.
You know, after all that shaving the eyebrow off, it's growing in just like a beard would. Like I think it's going to be back in maybe a month.
It's grown fast, bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, it's going to, and that stubble will give you the shadow that you need to seem like. Can we get a current picture? Can you take a photo?
Yeah, sure. I'll send out a current picture. It actually looks totally correct. Like unless you were looking for it, you might not see it. All right, so we're going to do Russell Westbrook here. So Russell Westbrook, I've got this theory. He has gone from playing super fast and playing his game and turning the ball over a lot to playing really careful, trying not to turn over the ball and missing all of his shots because he's tight. What do you think of that characterization?
Totally. I think you're 100% right. He's trying not to turn the ball over. And so it's making him hesitate on all of his other aggressiveness. And the way Russ is that he's just like, you know, he plays with his hair on fire. And when you, he doesn't play like that, it's like his whole game. It's like he's all, he leads with his swagger, right? He leads with his confidence. And so when he's censoring himself in a way, right? Yeah. It's like he's not the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, his game has changed. I think everybody's trying to put him into a certain box.
Mm-hmm.
Be this. Be careful. Be measured. Play it safe. And he's winding up settling for jump shots, including, I think he was 0 for 5 from 3 in that Sacramento game the other night. He's settling for jump shots. He's not going to the rack with the recklessness that he generally does. And so my theory is he's listening to all of this, and there's a ton of noise out there, national noise and local noise and all that stuff. I think he's hearing all that, and I'm sure he's hearing it from teammates and from Coach Vogel and all that stuff. But he kind of has lost who he is as a player a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Like, you ever had a producer who is, like, in your ear all the time telling you what to do?
Yes.
And
it's not like Bergman, by the way. Bergman's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. But there's, like, I have some TV producers who are like, I'll be on air, and I'm in the middle of a thought, and they're telling me what to say, or, you know, rap, or this, 10 seconds. Da, da, da. And I was like, I have to focus on what I'm saying right now. I can't listen to you and focus on what I'm saying. I mean, in a way, if you want to say something very quickly, that's fine. If you want to say 25 seconds,
yeah,
hard out. You could say something like that. Sure. We can hear that and react to it. But if you're like, if it's just overproducing, you know, you're in the ear and somebody's trying to think and be themselves and relax, and, you know, it doesn't work. It just makes you tight. And I feel like that's what Russ looks like right now. He just looks tight. He looks like he's trying too hard to not be the turnover guy and reckless, that he's lost his Westbrookism. You know?
Yeah, he's like lost his whole way, his whole style of playing.
Yeah.
Well, which guy do you want, though? Do you want the guy that's at the beginning of the year that was reckless
and going
about?
Isn't that the problem? The question?
Well, that's the problem. Then also, like, you can do the things that he did in Oklahoma City and Houston and Washington. You can't do that in L.A. It's just a totally different type. You get the media coverage that you're going to get here is so different from what's going on there. And I just don't know which guy is the right guy in that situation.
Well, the right guy, I think, is more careful like he is now. He had one turnover in that game on Sunday night. More careful, less reckless, but making shots. That's the guy we need.
And now, honestly,
I don't know if that's in the cards.
It's got to be in the cards. Like this is, I think everybody's making this way too hard. This is not about, okay, what role is Westbrook playing in the offense? Is he being asked to play off the ball too much? Or is he asked to stand in the corner too much and catch and shoot? And that's not his, all of those are things that he's uncomfortable with, but that's not the problem. The problem is he needs to focus a little bit more on defense and he needs to stop turning the ball over. That's it. Those are two very correctable things. And those are things that you shouldn't have to take him out of his whole swagger and his persona. All the, where are you? Are you in the dunker position? Are you in the catch and shoot position? Like, all of that stuff will fall into place if you just tighten up the defense and the turnovers. And those are, you know, when you're trying to make changes in your swing, okay? Like when I can only equate it to me as a hitter, okay?
Yeah.
When I'm trying to make changes in my swing, I can't change seven things at once. I can focus on the separation and my timing. Okay. So like, you know, when you are timing a pitch, your hands separate, they go back a little bit before they go forward. So yeah, there's a little thing you can do to work on that. I can't work on that and my front shoulder and my elbow and my hip rotation at the same time. One thing at a time, fix that, then fix the next thing after you've built some muscle memory and some confidence with it. He's trying to change everything all at once, and it's just kind of unraveling.
So it's kind of paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, it's too much, especially for a player who is an instinctual, emotional, hardworking player who doesn't necessarily play with a ton of analysis. Like, he can make adjustments.
Yeah,
but
he's instinctual. You said it. He's instinctual.
If you get yourself out of that, now you're just tied up in knots, and he looks tight to me. Like, he looks like he's trying too hard to do everything right, and all he has to do is just focus on the turnovers, focus on, like, okay, if I was coaching, I'd say, hey, Russ, you just need to secure the ball when you go to the basket. Just make sure you have, just secure the ball. It's like a running back. Secure the ball.
Yeah.
Like a lot. It's just slipping out of his hands all the time, right? I mean, you know, you see him. He's like, he doesn't have a good handle.
Careless.
And that's like,
careless.
Yes, careless. Yeah. Just secure the ball when you're going to the basket. And, you know, that would cut down on like 2-3 turnovers a game. That would be huge for him.
Well, I'll tell you what, this next stretch, at Denver, Jokic, home, Gobert. Gobert is in protocol. I don't know if he's going to be available for Monday or not, but that game's at Staples Center. Then Indiana, Orlando, both winnable games. Then you go at Miami, at Brooklyn, at Philly, at Charlotte. It's a rough road right there. That the so-called Grammy trip, with the Grammys being moved now to I don't know when and where, but the Grammy trip looks just like a beast. Looks like a beast, and we'll find out. I don't think this team is, and this is not breaking a hot take. I just don't think this team is very good.
They haven't been good, but if you talk to any coach, any scout in the league right now, they will tell you the Lakers still have enough talent to win, but they have to play better defense and they have to cut down on the silly mistakes. That's it.
Right.
It's not that complicated.
Well, the defense is, and you know, I pulled this quote from Tyrese Halliburton after the Sacramento game.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "We knew offensively we could get whatever we wanted."
That's a staggering quote from a member of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, we knew we could get whatever we wanted. I mean, I'm like, the defense is, and we've talked about it a lot. This is Ireland's thing. This is my thing. Defense is like for all the talk about Russ, defense is really the thing.
Yeah.
But it's been the thing since the beginning of the season, but why hasn't it been fixed? John keeps saying, well, you got to fix the defense. Well, defense is about effort, it's about desire, it's about passion, it's about pride, it's about all those things, and I don't know where that is.
And to me, there's one thing, look, we can criticize Carmelo Anthony for his defense if you want, but the guy is like 37, he's never been a great defensive player, and I don't think, like, from an athletic perspective, that's not what his game is now. He's just a really good offensive player, and he can be in the right places defensively, right?
Yes.
Westbrook is still a fantastic athlete. He is still fast and quick and hard-nosed. He
but
can be a good defender.
Notoriously not a great defender.
Right, but he has to want to be. And he can learn that. He knows basketball. He's a smart guy. You just have to put your attention and focus on that. Like, if I was coaching him right now, I'd say, I don't care about anything on offense. I only care about you on defense. If he focused, that's what Kuzma did, remember, a couple of years ago when he struggled to fit alongside LeBron?
Yeah, and he became a good defender.
He became a good defender. And you know what? He's doing great this year in Washington.
Yep.
And I think it's because he became a more well-rounded player out of necessity. It's not easy to play next to LeBron. It isn't. Especially for somebody who has had the ball in his hand the whole time, who's now pretty uncomfortable, it looks like, in this offense. And so stop trying to fix that part of it. That part can wait. Fix the defense first.
So, Momo, Russell Westbrook was the defensive player of the year in the Pac-12 when he was at UCLA. Why did it so much change from that time? He was an incredible defender. We actually, there was a whole thing where when he played against, who was it? Was it Florida it was Memphis when he played against Derrick Rose in the Final Four. Everyone was sitting there saying, you got to put Russell Westbrook on Derrick Rose in order to get him to stop him and not Darren Collison. And he was an incredible defender. Why did it all of a sudden just switch?
Well, I mean, they needed him to score in Oklahoma City. And I know that he can change because he did change. Like, when he first came into the league, he had to learn how to be more of a point guard. He had to learn to be more of an assist guy. And he did. Right, he went out. I think it was after the finals year where Magic criticized him, and then he changed his game to show everybody I can get assists, I can set people up, and he totally put that as a point of emphasis, and he shifted that. So I think defensively, you know, it's in there. He, from his college days, from just looking at just him as an athlete.
But if it's in there, why not do it?
So do it, yeah. Because I really think it's just what you put your attention on. Like James Harden, who is known as a sieve out there defensively. Okay. But he can be good. Like, James is not like the athlete Russ is, but he has long arms. He's smart. He knows where to be. He can switch everything. When the Nets were rolling last year in the playoff, like before they all got hurt, Like, yeah. Their defense was all right, and Harden is part of it. Remember that series with the Warriors and the Rockets when it was Chris Paul and James Harden, and they took them to 7 games?
Yep.
The Rockets had a great defense. You don't think of the Rockets having a great defense, but they did. The players, great superstar players, can be great defenders. It's just a matter of focus and effort. And I think that rather than try to fix what his role in the offense is, the Lakers need to just focus on defense, get everybody on the same page there, get that going, because that's how they won a championship. And the offense will then take care of itself. You play good defense, guess how many more transition buckets you're going to get?
Right.
Which is where Westbrook thrives.
All right. Let's just put a pin in that. We'll get back to it.
All right.
We got a full season.
Yeah, it's early. There's no AD yet.
Yeah, no AD. Yeah, we really haven't seen the whole team. Haven't seen what it looks like together, at least not very much. All right, coming up next, a wheel of questions. Going to spin the wheel of questions. These are all my questions today. Plus, I want to talk. We talked about Matthew Stafford. Most pressure on him, more pressure on him than anybody this weekend in the wild card playoff, super wild card weekend. His wife is out doing a podcast, and I want to talk about that a little bit. Kelly Stafford. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
I'm Filthy the Dog. I'm the best football picker in the world.
Wow. I can't believe I'm going to lose to that.
100% you're going to lose to the dog.
I'm going to tell you something. Mm-hmm. Daniel was so confident. Like, I would ask him, I'm like, who do you like, the Eagles or the Bucks? Eagles. Like, there was no hesitation in his voice. Like, I think my kid's a natural. Just watch.
Greg, I told you. The ghost should have picked.
Yeah, Greg, why not your ghost picking the
you
game?
You should have dimmed the lights or whatever, however the ghost pops up into your house, and then just said something, and when the ding happened of the piano, that was a pick.
I would say Raiders or Bengals. If you hit the button this time, you're picking ding. The Raiders. And it goes ding, and it's the Raiders. That was a great idea. I should have done that.
Yeah, good idea. Should have done that.
Again, where were you yesterday?
Ghost would have a better idea than you on picking these games. Yeah, so, Wheel of Questions time. Momo's in for John today.
Ooh, I love Wheel of Questions.
We're going to spin the wheel. It is brought to you by Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around not doing anything, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for a instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Laura, let's give it a spin. Okay. Actually, this is one that Bergman sent me this morning. I like it. Red pill, blue pill. The red pill, you restart your life at 6 years of age with all the knowledge you have now.
Whoa.
Blue pill, you get $10 million cash. So red pill is restart your life at 6 years old with all the knowledge you have now, or blue pill, $10 million in cash. What do you want? Red pill, blue pill, red pill, blue pill.
I want the cash.
You do?
Yeah.
Why not restarting your life when you're 6 years old?
I don't know. I think it turned out okay for me. Right? Restarting at six would mean going through all of those like junior high years. Those sucked. Like,
but now you know they were going to suck.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't need to relive all that. There's a lot of stuff that like I enjoyed. I had fun while it was there. I don't think there's a lot of stuff I would have done tremendously different. And then it's kind of like a butterfly effect. Like if I go back and I change one thing,
correct,
with this new knowledge, then I don't know how it's going to end up afterwards. Like what if, you know, one of the things I wish I would have known is as I was graduating Stanford, there was a few of my teammates who went to work for a little company called Google, and they offered to get me in too. And I was like, nah, I just don't really think that's me. And all of them have millions and millions of dollars now because they got in like pre-IPO to Google.
Oh, that- my God. Can you imagine you're 6 years old? Oh, forget it. Lights out. 6 years old. You buy Google on day one. You buy Apple on day one.
I know.
You're a trillionaire.
I know. But like I would have got in pre-IPO, so I would have got stock.
You buy Bitcoin at 10 cents.
Oh, my God.
It's now like $42,000 per Bitcoin. Yeah, but you would be unavoidably rich if you started over at six.
Yeah, because you would know all that stuff.
There's actually a really good book called Repeat that's about that exact thing that you're talking about, Mason, where a guy turns 40 on his 40th birthday every year. He goes back to the womb, but he knows everything, and he lives 40 years of his life learning everything and then goes back when he turns 40.
Oh, that sounds like a good book.
It is. It's a really good book. Repeat by Neil Pollack. Really, really good. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And give me the money.
You want the money?
Give me the money. I when you're 6 years old, you're supposed to be running around having fun and like playing in the sand and getting hurt and doing stupid things. I don't want to know everything at 6 years old. You're ruining my childhood. Give me the money.
Give me the money. Lara?
This is easy. Give me the money. Give me the money.
You don't want another crack at it.
No. You know what? My life has been good. I've got some difficult times, but like Momo said, I don't know what would happen if I go back, so just give me the cash.
Well, I am going to make it unanimous. I like the way my life turned
out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, everything has been, it's been hard. You know, like I probably would have come out when I was 15, like kids do today. I think I would have been a better athlete, knowing all the stuff that I know now. There's a lot of stuff. I would have bought Google. I would have bought Apple. But I wouldn't be on the radio mm-hmm. with my own show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have met Juan, who I've been with now for 16 years, mm-hmm. who's the, you know, my great love. That's my proudest achievement is maintaining that relationship and being happy with it. So, yeah, I would not go back to when I was 6 years old. I would take the $10 million bucks. It's interesting, though, that we are all happy with our lives.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's a good sign.
Super healthy.
Yeah.
We are healing, you know? That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's your wheel of questions. So Kelly Stafford has a podcast. We've talked about Matthew Stafford, and this Monday is just gigantic for him. You know, he is 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. The Rams moved heaven and earth. First-round draft picks. They got the Lions to take Jared Goff. This was the anointed guy. This was the guy that was going to put us over the top. Is the guy who's going to put us over the top. This is the guy. It squarely lands on his shoulders. And even with McVay this week, I asked McVay yesterday about all of the Matthew Stafford mistakes that we've seen, particularly in the second half of the season. And McVay sort of jumped me and said, yeah, he also threw 41 touchdown passes. And we do forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Third for the season in total passing yardage, 41 touchdown passes. He just leads the league in interceptions at 17. So, you know, this is sort of like the Cole... What's that thing where the pressure on coal makes it
turns into a diamond?
Turns it into a diamond. I mean, this is what we're going to find out is Matthew Stafford a diamond this year? Now, during the course of this week, Kelly Stafford, who I didn't know has a podcast, and there are some interesting clips out there. She talked about the fans at the Rams Niners game. She told a really funny story about her and Matthew Stafford meeting Leonardo DiCaprio and playing beach volleyball and Matthew Stafford spiking a ball and hitting Leonardo DiCaprio's supermodel girlfriend in the face. And instead of stopping the game, Leonardo DiCaprio said, no, let's go. That's a point. Let's keep playing.
Huh.
So there's a lot of interesting stuff.
I don't see DiCaprio like this. I feel like is he really like a tough guy?
She said, not a tough guy, but then he challenged them after losing in volleyball, challenged them to a game of Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, wow.
So apparently Leo's competitive.
Wow.
But it's a really cool story. It comes out on the podcast. Now, if you're a professional athlete, do you want your wife to put herself out there and have a podcast and make herself a public figure? Let's do that coming up next, because there are lots of examples of it. I've got strong feelings about it. We'll do that coming up next for you. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.